Jonah chapter 1. Jonah, we covered verse 4 yesterday. We'll read that. But the Lord, or last week, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Here we find the effects of the storm and the backslidden prophet. The storm at sea had a moral impact on the mariners. They became frightened, even though most sailors are known for their bravery in the face of terrible danger. The storm was so fierce that even these old salts were frightened by it. God can direct the forces of nature in such a way to strike fear into the hearts of the bravest men. Of men who have faced a myriad of dangers and hardships and difficulties. This storm must have been a real doozy for these sailors to be this afraid. They began to call upon their gods, plural. They were pagan polytheists. They worshiped many gods. The fact is, all men, by nature, worship something or someone. A lot of people worship themselves. They make themselves an idol. But the fact that men worship something, in times of great distress, those who were never known for praying are often found crying out to God. There are no atheists in times of great difficulty. There are no atheists in foxholes or in distress. It's a shame that men fail to pray in times of prosperity and only call upon God in times of great difficulty. But that's the nature of men. It's the nature of sinful men. Even though the prayers of the men were directed at the wrong objects, they were nevertheless united in their efforts praying for a solution to the difficulty. You know what? You can learn something from these pagans. When seasons of distress come on our churches, our families, our lives, we ought to unite in prayer. We ought to humbly seek God's face for a remedy to the solution. You know, a lot of people, when trouble comes, they try to figure it out on their own. They lose sleep over it. They worry about it. They fret about it. They call the doctor. They call their relative. You ought to call God. Call unto me and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Prayers to heathen gods are always ineffective. The pagan mariners were praying to false gods who could not help them in any way during times of difficulty. When prayer failed, they began to cast forth the wares of the ship. They were willing to cast forth, I'm sure they had weapons, they had tools, they had other things of value, but they started throwing them overboard to make the ship lighter so that it wouldn't sink. Think about this. They were willing to cast forth these things that were of value to save their own lives and their ship in time of trouble. As experienced sailors, they knew that this was the prudent thing to do. But it does tell you something. Material possessions mean very little to a person who is in a struggle between life and death. In such a state, the wealthiest man is on the same level as the poorest wretch. Now, it's a terrible shame that men don't readily recognize that their eternal souls are far more important than earthly possessions. It takes the storms of life and sometimes near-death experiences to make men realize the value of their soul. And even then, after the danger is past, they often forget their vows, the promises made to God during those seasons of distress. Man is a corrupt creature who often values the things of the world more than he does his never-dying soul. It'd be far better for men whose lives are loaded down with the pursuit of material prosperity to give it all up for the salvation of their eternal souls. Jesus said as much. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus said, your soul is more valuable than all the wealth in the world. All the gold, all the silver, all the rubies, all the riches, all the prestige, all the popularity, all of the power that men exercise, all of that put together does not compare to the worth of one never dying soul. Oh, that God would save sinners and make them recognize that without Christ they're going to perish. And when they go to the grave, when they take their last breath and the undertaker dresses them for the last time, their soul is going to spend an eternity in the fires of hell and ultimately in the lake of fire. And everything that they accumulated during their earthly life will mean absolutely nothing. Now, Jonah's backslidden condition. But Jonah, all right, by way of contrast, the last part of verse 5, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. When this storm arose, Jonah should have been the first one to call upon God in prayer for mercy and for safety. He should have been the first one out of all those that were on board. Instead, he went down into the sheep. He went down into the ship and he fell asleep. I'm going to tell you something. The way of the transgressor is hard. Running from God, disobeying God, will wear you out. It'll run you down. It'll result in mental, physical, and spiritual fatigue. Jonah's mind and heart, no doubt, were restless because he had rebelled against his Lord. And I'm sure you've experienced the same thing. It troubles you when you know you're not doing right. He'd probably lost a great deal of sleep over his decision to defy the command of God. He determined, he decided to go against the revealed will of God. He had gone down into the innermost part of the ship for seclusion. And as he laid down, perhaps the rocking motion of the ship may have lulled him into a deep, undisturbed sleep. Even the terrible storm that was raging outside could not wake him. It's interesting to note that those who go through times of severe depression often find comfort in sleep. Even though the problems that brought on the depression are still raging when they wake up while they're unconscious, they don't have to think about it. I wonder if that's the reason why so many people resort to drugs that put them to sleep, that knock them out. But still, when you wake up, you still got the same problems to face. One of the best cures for depression in my understanding is just to trust God and keep pressing on. Don't give up. Keep pressing on. Keep abiding in the Word. Keep applying the principles of the Word of God. Keep calling upon God. Keep doing good. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep on keeping on. When my son was going through his divorce, I don't know, it's been 10 years ago now, I've never had somebody close to me be that broken. And I just kept telling him, you got to trust God and keep moving. Keep serving. Be faithful. Remember how important it is that you have a testimony to your children. Little eyes are watching you. And God helped him. God and the prayers of his people brought him through it, gave him strength. And I thank God for that. But you can let things completely break you if you don't keep close to the Lord. Jonah sleeping while the storm was raging is a pretty good picture of professing Christianity in the world today. Christians and churches are for the most part sleeping while the storms of moral and spiritual confusion are raging. Worldlings like the mariners are seeking for different ways to appease God. They're vainly seeking God through the New Age movement, the charismatic movement, and many other false religions, while God's people are sleeping. The very ones who have the answers to the world's questions about spiritual things are for the most part fast asleep, while sinners are perishing. Somebody says, how in the world could our nation fall at such an accelerated pace? People have been asleep. Our nation has been turning away from God for decades. And there is an inflexible law, the law of sowing and reaping, that will always come to pass, come to fruition. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And
And we're reaping the whirlwind right now.
Globalism. Atheism. Secular humanism. All are aimed at keeping your attention away from God, from His Word, from His truth. Morality, family values, spiritual truths are not permeating our society because Christians have fallen into a deep sleep and have failed to model genuine Christianity and a life of faith to others. Can you imagine that we live in a world where if a preacher says it is dead wrong for a man to go in a woman's bathroom under any circumstances other than emergency, I guess. But think about it. This transgender nonsense. That statement's controversial. How? Well, you've got people that are propagating the notion that evil is good and bitter is sweet. See? And people who are easily manipulated, who don't think for themselves, are easily deceived. This is where we're at. It's controversial now. They say it's controversial to say that marriage is between a man and a woman, period. How is that controversial? We're talking about the history of human civilization. And the very basic notion of a family unit. Now people are saying that's controversial. But it's the fall of Christians who aren't standing, who aren't saying, I'm against that. I don't believe that. When Christians are found sleeping, the moral condition of the world will decay and resemble the field of the slothful in Proverbs 24, 30 and 31. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. The reason why biblical ethics and basic morality have broken down in our society is because Christians have been sleeping when they should have been influencing the world. What is even more alarming is that in the life of many of God's professing people, the world is influencing them more than they are influencing the world. Jonah physically sleeping it really speaks of what a backslidden condition when you're out of fellowship with God is like. People don't know that they were asleep until they wake up. Christians who are in a backslidden state often don't realize that they're asleep in the devil's lap until they're awakened to their condition by God. You know what happens when you get out of fellowship with God? You get out of the Word, get out of prayer, get out of the Lord's church. You know what happens? You become dull to spiritual truth. You'll find yourself not listening to God's Word or applying it and being convicted by it, but rather whatever the world has poured into your mind, oh, you'll take that hook, line, and sinker. And it deadens you. It deadens your conscience.
You fail to get convicted over your sin. We're living in a day and age when nobody wants to be confronted with their sin. Now, it's not pleasant. But I believe that a lot of people need to repent and turn from worldliness, waywardness, covetousness, idolatry, putting things, people, places, pleasures before God. You go on like that for very long, you're going to be asleep. And you won't even know it. Unless God wakes you up. Another characteristic of deep sleep is, as it relates to a backslidden condition, is that you often dream of things that you would never do if you were awake. And Christians are doing things and condoning behavior that they would have never dreamed of doing 10 or 20 years ago. Why? Because so many have become slothful, lazy, with regards to spiritual duties and disciplines. Many have been lulled to sleep by listening to the world's philosophies rather than taking heed to the raw truths of the Word of God. And preachers have lulled congregations to sleep with worldly fables, jokes, stories, rather than sound exposition of the Word of God. And the results have been devastating. Preaching ought to make you uncomfortable at times. You ought to get convicted of your sins. Professing Christians are wallowing in sin and justifying it without conviction or repentance. I'll tell you, when you get out of sorts, you get crossways, you get out of fellowship, you'll be able to justify anything in your own mind when you're going astray from God's Word. I pray that God will wake us up from our backslidden condition and cause us to repent and to return to our first love and live lives devoted to the Lord Jesus. May God stir us that we might live vibrant, holy lives that have a positive effect upon the world around us, rather than wallowing in the sin and the darkness and the wickedness of the ungodly. May God help us.